You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, what's going on with the stock markets?
Wild and woolly market. That's all I can say. A lot of distortions in the data, a lot of crazy things happening. It's sort of tough to pinpoint exactly. We had, for example, the Dow Transportation Average moving to all-time highs, which generally is a good leading indicator for the market as a whole. Historically, when Charles Dow invented the indexes, you know, well over, was it 150 years ago, I suppose, the Dow Transports was supposed to be the confirming leading indicator for the other indices. So the interesting story here is that the big surge in the transports in recent sessions was due to one stock mostly, which is Avis, the car rental company, which experienced, just looking at the stock, a huge short squeeze where stock goes from a couple hundred bucks up to $700 a share. Now it's pulled back. So that short squeeze in that stock helped distort the index. But outside of that, you know, the Dow Industrials just sort of kissing the old 50,000 record high, and a lot of individual high-tech stocks doing their thing. You know, one good news, one bad news. It just, you know, rotates day to day. But you had, you know, a couple outstanding performers like GE Vernova, which I've mentioned on these interviews in the past, GEV with their, you know, manufacture of, I guess what you call generators, both gas and nuclear, and the stock, you know, took off. It's like an $1,150 stock now. I think when we first talked about it, it was $400 or $500. So, you know, you got to pick your poison. You know, there's different trades for, obviously, different players. You know, there was a short play in the Avis, obviously, ran up to 700, long play in the GE Vernova. And here we are sitting at a potential cycle change point here that comes in here. So at the end of April, we'll see, you know, the market's going to hit a turning point here or not. A lot, of course, is dependent on what's happening in the, with the Iran situation. It's almost like minute to minute what's going on there. Oil is holding up, but, you know, well off its highs. Some of the oil stocks still holding up, though okay. You know, we had a big run. Actually, the title of my newsletter, maybe this would be good for this interview, is Do We Sell May and Go Away? Because May is approaching. And the adage goes for, you know, many decades, it's not 100%. It's like, you know, Turnaround Tuesdays or the Santa Claus rally and, you know, all the turkey shoot around Thanksgiving, all these seasonal historical adages. Will sell may go away work? It might this time. We'll see. Obviously, with many indexes into new highs, we got, you know, an over-enthusiastic market here. I guess the bulls could say, well, despite all the bad news in the Mideast, the indices were able to hold up. And, you know, we don't talk about it very much, but, you know, I publish it occasionally, a little background on the plunge protection team, which exists out there, which nobody talks about in the financial press. It's the working group of financial markets that Ronald Reagan created by executive order in 1988, and despite what anybody says or does, it's out there. There's also the Equity Stabilization Fund created as part of the Gold Reserve Act back in the 1930s, and between these two acts and executive orders, there's plenty of power on the part of the government to manipulate the market or move the indexes or move the futures, and I think it goes on, but again, nobody wants to question it or talk about it because you have to document whether it actually happened, and you'll never get it, even, I suppose, if you went to the Freedom of Information Act. So a lot of, you know, background stuff you know, going on here. And, you know, there's talk about, you know, private credit having some problems in the last few weeks, whether that exaggerates now into something, you know, bigger and creates more of a market problem. We'll see in coming months. You've got the Democrats here in the United States trying to tear apart the Republican efforts to equalize voting. you know, to pay government employees, and it goes on and on. You got the election coming up in midterm in November, so a lot of forces at work here. I mean, I think the market's vulnerable because of all these cross currents, the fact that it's so high, and there are still unrelated issues. But you know, the powers that be want to keep the market up. You'll have to watch the tape as we do. We're playing it very close to the vest. But, you know, Mike, that feeling is you probably do for some type of setback here again, and then we'll just, you know, take it from there. But I'd be cautious between now and the fall with the midterm elections. You know, again, we could get a pullback here in May, perhaps, summer rally back down again. You know, it's going to be all over the place with the cross currents of news. Of course, a lot of these comments are relevant for those who are long-term investors who've just been holding the S&P or the big indexes for many years and are willing to withstand any corrections. But you know, we don't trade that way. You know, we try to play it a little closer to the vest than that. So, and that's sort of a summary of the stock market.
What's going on with gold?
It's in a holding pattern. It has corrective levels below the market, Jim. You know, some down to 4,100, some down to 3,500, whether we're going to see that or not. Silver's got that $50 number we've talked about. Question is, are we going to see it now or later? My feeling is you got to hold your gold and silver positions because if there's credit issues or another financial crisis, I think, you know, those are the safe havens. And, you know, you just have to, you know, bear with it. If you have a trading opportunity and there's a shakeout down there and we get to those levels, I would definitely be a buyer. But I'm just holding, you know, core positions. A lot of the individual stocks, the gold and silver stocks, may outperform the metal itself because of the high price of metal. The earnings are much greater than they'd ever had been. And even with a correction, I think, in the metals, they're still benefiting from overall higher prices. So, you know, I'm still thinking, you know, much, much higher. My model for the year in silver and gold is still overall bullish. So whether we get that shakeout, a quick shakeout or not, or maybe we've already had it and we go higher and then we correct at a later point, that's the trick here. So I'd rather sit and hold the core positions. Then when you think about it, we had a big run already in January. We had a big shakeout. And now we've been sort of trending here sideways for the last couple, 3 months. So I'm not about to dump them here by any stretch because I still think there is a lot of connections politically as well, you know, with the gold and silver market. You've got the administration here in the U.S. possibly talking about tying treasury bonds to gold to help secure the debt and the value of the dollar, and a lot of stuff is going on, which is sort of earth-shaking things. We've seen a lot of earth-shaking things come out of this current Republican administration, and there's been a lot of talk, typically with a new Fed chairman coming in, we think in the next couple of months he has to get approved. But, you know, there could be some interesting plays with the metals with regard to the bonds and other stuff, too. So, you know, just imagine one day they decide to you know, tie a high value of gold to the bond market or to the treasury market to help secure the debt. You know, and that could be any number. It could be 10,000, 20,000, could be any number up there at some point. Of course, you know, that's speculation on my part, but it's also stuff that we've heard rumored for a long time. So that's a good reason just to hold on to your long positions in the metals.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, the U.S. government now is really thinking about changing the regulations surrounding marijuana. What does that mean business-wise?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we had a little pop here in the cannabis stocks here the last couple of days. This is really not new news. I mean, we're talking about rescheduling the cannabis from Schedule 1 down to 3. And it's all over the news that it's happening. I don't know if officially it actually happened or they're still talking about it, because I didn't see any thing from the Drug Enforcement Agency actually saying that it happened. Just a lot of talk that it's happening or about to happen. But in any event, all the cannabis stocks, you know, popped up, you know, some like 20-30% overnight. This is in the last 48 hours, and they pulled back today. So, and also, the administration was also acting with regard to psychedelic drugs and so forth, helping open up that market a little bit. Apparently, there's a lot of medical research on these. In fact, many of the cannabis-related companies in recent years have sort of moved into the psychedelic drug area in terms of experimentation and medical studies and finding benefits with regard to those drugs besides the cannabis. So, anyway, there was a play here in the last 48 hours, a nice surge, you know, one particular index, MSOS, which is the U.S. cannabis-based stocks. It rallied from $4 almost to $6 in like 24 hours. So that's a hell of a short-term move on a percentage basis, and that's an index, and now it pulled back today. So ongoing action there. As I always said, you got to hold on to these because they're so cheap. And there's still so much potential legislation that could come into this market, which could make it even better, particularly with regard to the Banking Act and the real need to federally legalize it across the board, which it really isn't right now. Rescheduling the cannabis doesn't federally make it illegal across the entire United States, so that still has to happen at some point, and perhaps it will. So anyway, hang in there. I mean, there's a lot of motions and work here to try to get that industry, you know, back in gear. There's a lot of companies that are in that industry making money and people that buy the products, and it's been discouraged by a lot of the bad legislation and a lot of the shenanigans going on with regard to the rescheduling, which now is at least a first positive step. I mean, I'm a supporter of it. I don't use marijuana myself, but a lot of anecdotal stories from particularly in the senior community regarding its benefits. And by getting it rescheduled, my understanding is that now significant serious research can take place to document many of these anecdotal claims. So of course, if you talk to people that say it helped them, they don't need the evidence, they're using it anyway. But you know, I have relatives that have used it. Not necessarily the marijuana with the strong marijuana, but the CBD type products, and they found a lot of benefits in it. So, take anything else, you know, pick your own poison. You listen, sometimes if you get sick, you take a shot of whiskey. You know, that helps you too, right? So you can't blame anybody for trying something that helps them.
Now, I know crude is probably, you know, always, it's the big story right now, but is it really hard to pick what's going to happen because the news on the Strait of Hormuz changes every hour?
Well, I think crude was basically underpriced, and I think we discussed this in a previous interview that if you adjust for inflation, what's happened with the metals, the commodities, you know, everything from gold, silver, to lithium, to uranium, copper, platinum, palladium, the whole, and including agricultural commodities, you know, crude oil really is underpriced, undervalued, and it needed to catch up a little bit. So I think part of the move, of course, was related to the Iranian situation, but the chart said it needed to go up, and I think it's going to stay higher for a period of time. You just think about it, you know, all these shortages around the world, government reserves apparently being depleted, and particularly in Europe, and to a certain extent here in the United States, have to be replenished. So there's going to be a lot of buyers for crude, and I don't think it's going back down to $60 or anything like that. I think it's going to stabilize, and you know, I think just a fair overall price, $90 to $100, might be the case for crude oil for a while, because just of the need for it and the shortages and the replenishing issue and so forth. So you know, the world's still very much dependent on it. And as you pointed out, we still have this unresolved issue with regard to the Strait of Hormuz and what's really going to happen. And, I mean, things, you know, could get a lot worse, not necessarily better. I mean, maybe the Bears are going to be right and you're going to see crude at $200. I mean, that's what they've been saying for a long time. Listen, we saw $140 way back, was it in 2007, I think it was, way back then, and nobody believed that could happen. So you think about it, you know, commodity that could range from that kind of price all the way down to $50, $60, could easily go back to that level or higher, and, you know, there's always, you know, demand for it. So, you know, we're oil-based world. I know there's been a lot of push to try to make us dependent on solar and electrical usage and, of course, the conversion into nuclear and so forth. But most of the world still is heavily dependent on oil. Look at China. I mean, all the oil they needed, they were getting from Iran. I mean, despite all the great technology that we're developing or have, that doesn't seem to really impact the day-to-day world that we're in, that people really complain about high gas prices and they still need gas for their cars and planes still need oil for fuel. And I mean, there's so many other reasons for and uses for oil than just gasoline. So unfortunately the world's dependent on it, and I don't see the price really coming down a lot. The way to play this is the you know, the big oil companies, and I mentioned a couple of those in my newsletter that pay good dividends, and some have been paid dividends for, in some cases, 20 or 30 years consecutively, and in fact have raised them consecutively all that time, even with the variations in the price of crude oil. So one of the safest things to do is find a good dividend, a couple of good dividend-paying oil companies and play that way. That way you're getting your dividend and you're participating, hopefully, if their stock price goes up, if oil continues to rise.
And, Mark, so many other commodities, fertilizer, helium, it's just endless that are dependent on that oil and natural gas getting out of the Strait of Hormuz.
It's funny. Yeah, that's true. Fertilizer has been a big issue. Some of that has been a problem. You know, there's a lot of speculation. It's going to be mass starvation because we can't get fertilizer to the right place, in the right time. Funny thing, natural gas really hasn't participated. Actually, it's virtually at its lows, which was sort of surprised me. I thought natural gas, particularly with what's going on there, that would have impacted prices higher, but apparently it hasn't. Maybe we just have too much of it. I know we generate a lot here in North America, so but the natural gas really hasn't really gone up. But yeah, helium and fertilizers, aluminum took off, as you know, temporarily, had that big spike because of the apparently a couple of the plants in the Mideast that produce aluminum were knocked out with some missiles. So we saw some of the aluminum stocks, they spiked and came back down again, but there was an initial bullish reaction when those plants got attacked. You know, the bottom line is, you know, we're very commodity dependent. You know, that's the world we're in, you know, whether it's agricultural or it's fertilizer or it's oil. So we're in a big commodity driven economy, world economy. And that's, you know, that's a lesson to be learned here in terms of your investments, that they're not going away. And when they sell off, they're probably all buys.
Mark, anything happening on the geocosmic front to add to all of our worldly woes?
Oh, okay. Well, not much going on right now. We passed the vernal equinox. We got the summer solstice coming up. You know, a little, you know, a couple months ahead here. You know, so it's actually not that far back. We're looking June, so I guess maybe that'll tie in with this El May go away theory on the solar flare issue. Nothing exciting that I can see being reported right now, and we just have some other seasonal cycles that are due here the end of April, which are popping up now. So we'll see if that ties into a little top here in the market and a pullback in that theoretical sell may go away theory. I mean, I wouldn't go out there and sell everything just because of that theory, but it's something to watch. And if we get some confirmation here technically, then maybe we would consider the short side of the market for a short period of time. But these are just, you know, seasonal patterns, adages that we follow, and what we do is we try to tie the technical work to the cycle. So the cycle, say we're in this time frame now, okay, so if I start to see huge volume come into the downside and we start to break some support in the market, that would say, okay, it's kicking in, let's step aside, let's get short, and wait for the next buy opportunity. So we'll just have to watch. But for the most part, I think the market is pretty extended right here. I think, you know, it's still sort of vulnerable, in my opinion, but we'll see how it plays out here come into May.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask those questions for you. Find us on X at How Street. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.